Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udivayet Vede ramayane chaiva Purane bharate tata Adavante cha madhya cha Hari savata giyate Mukham kuroti vachalam Pangum langyate giri Yakripa tamaham bande Shri gurum dina tarane Paravananda maravam
Dhammakochita kaitavocha paramone matsaranam satam vedhyam vastavamatu vastum vastu shivadam tapachayan mulanam shimad bhagavate mahamuni kute kimba parishvara sajahuja virujyate cha kutibi shushushibi stachanat. From Shrimad Bhagavatam is explained that this Shrimad Bhagavatam, it propounds the highest truth. It is speaking only about pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, how to attain the highest platform of love of God. This is the point of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's explained that this is real dharma. The real dharma of the soul is to develop love for Krishna, the Sanatan Dharma. And all the other so-called dharmas, which are not leading to this bhakti, the love, pure love for Krishna, it's called the Kaitava Dharma. It's a cheating type of religion because there's some selfish motivation is still there. When we want to develop love for Krishna and serve Krishna, it's selfless. So no personal interest or material motivation. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is propounding and what is offering us. It's explained that only those who are completely pure and free from an envious attitude towards Krishna and Krishna's devotees, only they can really understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Because really it's explained that Krishna is the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna says, Vaidaishcha sarve aham eva vedya, that by all of the Vedas, the purpose of the Vedas is to know me. And to know Krishna means to surrender to Krishna, render loving service to Krishna. So without this mood of rendering loving service, nobody can know Krishna. Krishna says, you try to approach me without love, without bhakti, I'll hide myself from you. So unless we have a pure motivation, okay, we may not be very advanced, we may be trying to gradually elevate ourselves, but in the heart of hearts, and Krishna knows, in spite of all of that, this soul still is attracted to me. This soul still wants to come to me and serve me and develop love for me. He wants to get me. And Krishna can understand that thing. So without that genuine pure desire, then it's explained that you cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. You cannot hear Krishna. You cannot understand Krishna. So this is our prerequisite. We cannot approach it like a scholar, academically, just putting our good brains, our good minds, intelligence, to understand it. You cannot squeeze, you cannot force Krishna to reveal, for Srimad Bhagavatam to reveal. And Krishna says that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is Supreme Controller. But He says, I agree to be controlled by the love of my devotee. So without approaching Srimad Bhagavatam in a mood of loving devotion, we cannot control Krishna, we cannot force Krishna to reveal Himself through this Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are offering our respectful obeisances unto the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, may shower mercy on us, may see some good sincere desire to want to approach Krishna and serve Krishna, love Krishna. And if that's so, then with mercy, then we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Really, what qualification do we really have in the Kali Yuga, especially most degraded, sinful age? Still, if some sincerity and seriousness is there, then Krishna will understand. And Krishna says, the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, I'll give you intelligence. How you can come to me, how you can know me. So, before offering or speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, we humbly try to a little bit glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's explained we should run to the Bhagavatam class. It looks like you have all run to the Bhagavatam class in order to get the mercy from Srimad Bhagavatam. We need mercy. We cannot progress on our own. And Srimad Bhagavatam is daily giving that mercy. But how we approach it, what is our mood, our mentality, our desire, all of these subtle things also have to be considered. And Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, is considering that, whether we can understand or not understand. So we offer our respectful obeisances. I cannot properly glorify, I'm not such a big devotee, but I feel like I'm supposed to try to do that. And then maybe, I'm like a small child trying to say something, right? But we're hopeful that still Srimad Bhagavatam may shower mercy on us and answer all of our questions, all of our anxieties, all of our doubts, all of our problems, whatever is there, everything that is there can be answered by Srimad Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada says you have to listen very, very closely, very attentively, otherwise you may miss it. So we should try not to be so distracted. All week we're distracted. Now it's Sunday. Many of you have come at Sunday. All week we're distracted. So at least today, let's try not to be distracted. Shut up your cell phone, your iPod, iPad, whatever other I thing you have. It's a fitting name, isn't it? I, me, mine. Shut it off. And just try to hear Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. This is our goal. We want to hear Krishna. What is Krishna's instruction? What is Krishna telling us? What is he teaching us? That can be revealed by mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in spite of our disqualification, still we can understand and get something with that mercy. Hare Krishna. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading in the fifth canto, the creative impetus is the name of that canto, and we're on chapter 13. And the name of that chapter is Further Talks Between King Rahugana and Jadbhart. And today we're on text 14. 5, 13, 14. Please repeat. Tan tan vipannan saha hi tatcha tatcha vihaya jatam padiguya saata avartate adya api na kaschit acha
vira advana param upaiti yogam tamstan vipanan sahitat tatcha vihaya jatam padiguya sarta avatate japi nakaschiracha viradvana param upayati yogam tamstan vipanan sahi tatcha tatcha vihaya jatam padiguya sarta avatate japi nakaschiracha viradvana param upaiti yogam. Tamstan vipanan sahi tatta tatta vihaya jatam parigriya sata avatate dhyapina kaschirata radhana param upaiti yogam. Tamstan vipanan sahi tatta tatta vihaya jatam parigriya sata apatate dhyapina kaschirata vidraravanam paiti yogam. Tamstan vipanan sahi tatta tatta vihaya jatam parigriya sata antaryata nakashtirata vidharavanam upaita yoga. Mataji,
tantan, all of them. Vipanan, embarrassed in various ways. Saha, the living being. He, certainly. Tatcha tatcha, here and there. Vihaya, giving up. Jatam, those who are newly born. Parigriya, taking. Sa'artha, the living being, searching for his own interests. Avatate, he wanders in the forest. Adya'api, even until now. Na, not. Kaschit, any of them. Acha, here in this forest. Vira, oh hero, adhana, of the path of material life, padam, the ultimate end, upaiti, gets, yogam, the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. And this is Jad Bharata giving instruction to King Rahugana. Very important, serious discussion. My dear King, on the forest path of material life, first a person is bereft of his father and mother. And then after their death, he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way, he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. And nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death. Please repeat. My dear King, on the forest path of material life, first a person is bereft of his father and his mother, and after their death, he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way, he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. Nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, family life is an institution of sex. Yan matunhadi grihamedi sukham, from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45. Through sex, the father and the mother, they beget children, and the children get married, and then go down the same path of sexual life. After the death of the father and the mother, the children get married, and then they beget their own children. Thus, generation after generation, these things go on in the same way, without anyone's attaining liberation from the embarrassment of material life. No one accepts the spiritual processes of knowledge and renunciation, which end in bhakti yoga. Actually, human life is meant for jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. Through these, one can attain the platform of devotional service. Unfortunately, people in this age, they avoid the association of liberated people, sadhu sangha, and they continue in their stereotyped way of family life. Thus, they are embarrassed by the exchange of money and sex. Om Ajnana Tamananda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshamalitam Jana Tasmai Shri Guru Vedama Namo Vishnubhadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Gaura Govinda Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnubhadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Adesha Tarne Tamstan vipanansa hitacha tacha vihaya jatam parigriya sarta avatate dhyapi na kaschid atta virhad havana param upayati yogam. Translation again. My dear King, on this path of material life, first a person is bereft of his father and mother, and then after their death, he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way, he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. Nonetheless, one who knows how to get out of this, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death. So big trap is there. Very, very complicated problem is there. Srila Prabhupada explains that real intelligence means to understand what is your problem. So in our material ignorance, material consciousness, we don't understand what is our problem. All of these personalities, generation after generation, the translation says, no one knows how to get out of this situation. Neither are they trying to get out of that situation. And why? Because Maya is so strong. Daivihiyeshu gunamayi. Mama Maya. Dhartaya. Krishna says, this Maya, this covering, this ignorance or illusion of Maya, is my Maya. Mama Maya. Krishna is the controller of that Maya. Krishna says, I'm in your heart. Savasya chahamriti sanivishtomata smritya jnanam aponam cha. If you want to remember me, Krishna says, I'll give you intelligence and I'll make you how you can remember me. But Prabhupada says, but if you want to forget Krishna, then Krishna will also make you forget. Who is the soul? Who is the supreme soul? What is that Sanatan Dharma? What is our relationship with God? Most people are in complete forgetfulness. Prabhupada said in other purport, first canto, that hardly anybody is serious about how to get out and how to go back home, back to Godhead. Hardly anybody is that serious. And really, Prabhupada said 99.9% of the people, as being explained here today, are just caught in this ignorance, in this illusion. So they don't even realize what is the problem. They don't even realize that you have to try to solve the problem, or even what is the solution to the problem. Because one of the potencies of Maya is she covers our real intelligence, covers the soul, covers the knowledge of the Supreme Soul, covers what is that relationship. So we're sleeping. So much ignorance is there. Tamagun, darkness is there. So we're forgetting all of these things. And the other potency of Maya is Maya will make you think that you are happy, that everything is all right. Sometimes you ask the man, how are you, sir? And we know that if we're not Krishna conscious, we're suffering like anything. We're in complete anxiety, uncontrolled mind and senses, not surrendered to. Prabhupada said, you don't want to surrender to Guru and Krishna? Okay, surrender to Maya. You don't want to be Krishna Das, Guru Krishna Das? Then be Maya Das. Go on trying to serve Maya, getting heavy, heavy lashes of Maya. And we're getting heavy, heavy lashes from Maya, meant to wake us up and question, why is this happening? Prabhupada says human life means that you inquire, why am I suffering? Why am I being forced to suffer? And more importantly, how do I get out of this situation? How do I get rid of this suffering condition, this anxiety-filled position? And Srila Prabhupada explains that if we're not coming to realize that, then we're not really come to the human form of life. And Srila Prabhupada explains about the hogs and the dogs, right? They're rolling and playing sometimes. You see these dogs. You see the life of the dog, right? Especially in India. I was first shocked when I came to India and I saw how treating dogs. They'll throw you in jail if you treat a dog like that in America. Honestly. Isn't it? So such a hellish life they have here. There's no master. They're all just wandering on the street getting kicked and fighting and run over by the rickshaw and the car, and the people walk by, they say, hey, there's a dog. Ah, just kick him. Right? Sometimes you see it like that. Why? Oh, he's just there. He's a dog. I remember one time when I first came, I'm chanting on one veranda and I look and some boy is just standing on the neck of the dog. Just playing. So I was so disturbed.
How cruel is that? You know, even I am such a low person, still my heart was cracking. Hey, what are you doing? Then he got shocked. Oh, this is not good. Then he walked away. I said, just some little puppy. So what kind of life is that, right? But still, they're rolling and playing. You see these dogs, right? Because they think they're happy. Srila Prabhupada, when he was coming on Jaladutta the other day, we were talking, and Prabhupada is talking to Krishna, praying to Krishna. Krishna, these people in this Western country, they're all under this tamagun and rajagun. They're completely covered in ignorance and passion, enjoying unlimitedly their senses, and feeling that they're very happy. They're not trying to solve the problem. They're not even trying to understand the problem. What to speak of solving the problem? So Srila Prabhupada is saying, how will it be possible that these people in this consciousness, so fallen, degraded, but they're thinking, I'm fine. Everything's great. And they and then you hear this story that the Vaishnava says, one man is in the forest, his body is on fire, his head is on fire, his eyebrows are on fire, completely burning in the fire. And then you ask the man, sir, how are you? Fine. Couldn't be better. Sometimes people say like that, huh? Could not be better. So he cannot perceive what is his suffering condition. He, if you ask him, he thinks he's happy, he's enjoying. This is Maya. This is illusion. Prabhupada said, it's explained, this place is a prison house. So if you go to the man in the prison house, how are you? He's locked up in the prison house, he's being forced to suffer. And then you ask him, how are you? He said, things are going pretty good today. I'm having a pretty good day. You're in the jail, Baba. You're suffering like any. You have no freedom. And then Prabhupada, many times when someone said, oh, I'm doing fine, I'm great, everything's wonderful. Many times Prabhupada chastising, huh? That you just wait. When material energy pounds you down, embarrasses you, and puts you on a deathbed with so much disease and so much anxiety, then you tell me how you're doing. Now you're a little bit trying to enjoy your good karma. Sometimes the devotee realizes suffering condition, expresses it to the people, and sometimes people say, I cannot relate with this man. I don't understand what is he talking about. Suffering, anxiety. I have no anxiety. I have no suffering. Sometimes the people say, I have good karma. I'm just enjoying my money and my materialistic life. So how you can say anything if this man is not even understanding how much he's suffering? And you see, when we're Krishna conscious, we become peaceful, we become happy, we become joyful. And when we're not, then so much anxiety, so much disturbance, so much fighting, so much enviousness, so much uncontrolled senses, overindulging in uncontrolled sense gratification, and then suffering reaction from all of that. A human being can understand, what am I doing here? All of the yoga systems, karma, jnana, yoga, shtanga yoga, hatha yoga, all the way to bhakti yoga, everyone's trying to deal, all those systems are trying to deal with the same problem. What is the problem? Uncontrolled mind and senses being forced to engage in sinful activity and then being punished because of that unrestricted sinful activity, disobeying the laws of God. So intelligent man, one who's wise, he'll begin to understand, what is my condition? What is my position? Srila Prabhupada explains, material life means anxiety. Complete anxiety. And Prabhupada explains that that anxiety, that is the disease of materialistic life. So how can a wise, intelligent man who recognizes his anxiety and fear and disturbance, Kali Yuga says everybody's disturbed. But if you ask people, they say, no, I'm not disturbed. I'm fine. Because we have become so callous. Very callous. So covered consciousness means callousness. Carelessness. So material energy makes us more and more callous. We become lower and lower and lower in our consciousness, in our spiritual intelligence. Therefore, we cannot even perceive our anxiety or fear or disturbance. So what to speak of trying to solve the problem? And Srila Prabhupada says, if you don't recognize what is your problem, and you do not sincerely try to solve your problem, then what is the purpose or the means, what is the point of accepting a spiritual master? Prabhupada says that when you want to solve the problems of your life, and you're now looking for some answers and solutions, now Krishna and Guru, Sadhu Guru Vaishnav, now they can come and begin to help us. And how are they helping us? Is they're speaking very strong words. Sadhu means to cut. Sometimes we hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada says he has chopping technique. Not cutting, chopping. Because we're in such ignorance and thinking we're enjoying like anything. We're not trying to solve what is our problem. We don't even understand really what is our problem. Oh, Guru Maharaj, you please, should I move my money from the mutual fund into the stock? What kind of question is that? How fluid is the market today, Guru Maharaj? What type of rice should I eat tonight? Should I go for the basmati or should I try the jasmine? What kind of question is there? So Prabhupada says, if you don't want to solve your problem, there's no need of the guru, and there's no need to inquire or be inquisitive towards the guru of how to solve the problem. And we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj had a great problem. He was going to die very, very soon. And he understood, what Krishna says, that what you're thinking at the time of your death, that place you will attain. So he wants to make sure his soul is going to the right place. It's explained that this life is a preparation for the next life. And it says here today that the life is meant for austerities and detachment and knowledge, ultimately so that we can get purified enough to understand Sanatana Dharma, to understand bhakti. That's the point of the life. But if you ask people, what is the point of your life? How many people will say, oh, I'm trying to purify my existence and develop detachment and gyan vijnanam. How many people will say? So Prabhupada says, no one, hardly anyone is serious. In this translation it says, no one even knows how to get out of this trouble. And you see Arjuna, he found himself also in big, big trouble. When he realized, okay, I cannot solve it, he understood what is my problem. And then he tried to solve his problem. And of course Prabhupada says, what is the real problem? Birth, death, disease and old age. Then when he wanted to solve his problem, then he needed a guru. Then he went to Krishna and said, Shishaste hamam sarimam mam prapanyam. Now I am a soul surrendered unto you, Krishna. You are my spiritual master. Now you kindly help me to solve all of these anxieties, all of these problems in my life. Prabhupada says, if you don't want to solve it, then why you go to anybody and ask for their help? First you have to realize what is your problem.
So our problem here discussed today is too much this sex life problem, the lust problem. And it's explained that everyone here in the material body, in the material world, has a serious lust problem. This is a heart disease. Our heart and our consciousness has become overwhelmed and disturbed by the demands and pushings of our senses, our mind and our senses. So uncontrolled mind and senses, this is the enemy, isn't it? So hankering and lamenting, materialistic life means hankering and lamenting. Oh, when can I get this? When can I achieve that? When can I buy that? When can I get married? When can I have money? When can I have a house? When can I get the car? When can I get the new iPad mini? So many things and desires, demands we have. We're hankering for all of these materialistic things. And then if we're not hankering, then we're lamenting. Oh, why couldn't I get it? Why couldn't I achieve it? How could I be so stupid? How could I make such a mistake? How I lost everything. Now I lost my mother, I lost my father, now I'm also lamenting. Now I'm crying. Then somehow they get some pacification because they have children, it's okay, then they transfer their attachment onto the children. And now they have big dreams for the children. Now they're hankering again. And then when the children not cooperating, not participating in the parents' plan, then parents lamenting, oh, just see our son, our daughter, especially in India, isn't it? Huh? This embarrassment, we're embarrassed, he's a rascal. He's doing all nonsense, he's not following my plan. Our plan. The parents make a whole life plan for you, isn't it? Yes, he'll do this, he'll become a doctor, he'll get this, he'll get a big job, he'll make money. Then we can retire, then he has to come and touch our feet every day and give some money and we can enjoy the rest of our life. But the problem is most people not cooperating with the plan. Right? Because everyone is overwhelmed by their own plan, their own desires, their own interests. So this way it's not working. And then the parents then said, okay, we had big dreams, big plans, now we're lamenting. What to do? So this is materialistic life, hankering and lamenting. That means no satisfaction, no peace. Prabhupada said, if there's no satisfaction and no peace, you cannot be happy. And of course we want to be happy. So, Hare Krishna. Am I doing alright? I'm good? You're praying for me? You're helping me? So first thing, we have to understand what is the reality of our condition. And sometimes that reality is scary to look at. If you're living in your own little bubble, in your own little illusion, in your own little world, then this type of information is too heavy. My God, I'm just trying to enjoy with my family. What is the problem? Why you're making big problem? Bringing big topic. And you see Judd Barrett, he's bringing that heavy topic because he sees this king is in big time illusion. He's thinking he's also happy and enjoying. But if he's in complete ignorance and he dies, he leaves his body, then he wasted his human form of life. He wasted all of his energy and time on the useless temporary things. Not at all interested in Sanatana Dharma. Hmm.
So Judd Barrett, Vaishnava, his heart, Paradukaduki, he's suffering because he sees actually this person in a suffering condition. I remember one story with Srila Prabhupada that he saw some men there playing some golf. And Prabhupada was watching this thing in the 60s, 70s. Now in India they have golf courses, right? That was unheard of. And Prabhupada said, just see, these men are in the fag end of their life. They're ready to die. Death may come at any moment. And how are they spending their time? They're just hitting this little ball into this little hole. Foolishness. Wasting human form of life. And I heard that Prabhupada, he actually began to cry. Because he could understand how unfortunate, how foolish are these persons. I had a little similar experience because I had to go to some physical therapy for some injury. Then I saw there's some swimming pool is there, and there's 70, 80, 90 year old people, right, dressing in these little swimsuits. Very horrible to see. And they're just playing with the ball back and forth, you know, like little kids. Just ooh, joking, laughing, hitting ball. Huh? And you could die in the pool. You're so old. Right? They're not thinking about my soul, the super soul, the supreme soul. What is my connection? What is my relation? What is my surrender? What is my love? How far have I advanced or developed myself? They're not at all thinking about that. Mostly. And how do you know? Because you see by their activities. So complete ignorance is there. So saintly personalities, pure devotees of the Lord, they speak strong words which are meant to be injected into our little bubbles, into our little worlds. They come crashing with some real information. Heavy knowledge is there. And it's meant to wake us up. Jeev jago, jeev jago, jeev jago. Wake up, sleeping souls. So Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu's devotees, they're trying to wake us up. Prabhupada trying to wake us up. But we're not listening. Prabhupada says, if you're a very simple-hearted person and you're taking rest and some man comes and says, my dear sir, please wake up. Then that man immediately he wakes up. But if that man is very crooked man, he has this kapatya, crookedness, duplicity, corruption, and he's faking that he's sleeping. And you say, sir, sir, wake up, wake up. He's just posing. Right? You can never wake up that man. Because not simple. If one is very simple-hearted, very pure-hearted, he'll have real intelligence. And he'll understand, I'm living in such ignorance, such foolishness, so much I'm suffering, so much anxiety is there. I have to solve it. I have to look for some kind of solution. So if we have not even come to that understanding and understand the reality of our situation, where exactly are we in our spiritual life? That is the question. Human life, Prabhupada says, is meant for jnana and vairagya. Detachment, renunciation. To minimize. Prabhupada says, minimize as much as possible. That way you have time and energy to pursue for your spiritual life. Just minimize as much as possible. But are we thinking like that? More, more, more. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
I, me, mine, just increasing, and spending time and energy and money and everything, just increasing.
Prabhupada said this materialistic life is like a great fever. And one who's wise and intelligent will understand I have to bring down this fever by minimizing, by practicing, being satisfied, by prioritizing or reprioritizing our life and making spiritual life in the first spot. Everyone has to analyze within themselves, how serious am I about spiritual life? About trying to find some real solution to my problem. We have to test ourselves. Prabhupada said, test yourself, analyze yourself. So are we trying to bring down the fever? Or are we trying to increase the fever? Are we trying to become detached and learn renunciation? Or are we practically becoming more and more attached day after day? Which direction are we heading in? Are we part of the solution or are we going to be part of the problem? Right? Sometimes people ask that question. Are you part of the solution or you're part of the problem? So we should be in the solution, offering a solution, a practical solution that works. And we have to show in our own life how it works. What were we before? What were we doing before? What was our consciousness before? The advantage of the human form is that our consciousness can change. The animal consciousness, the animals, their consciousness cannot change. It's fixed. It's just covered consciousness. But the human form, you can purify by renunciation and knowledge develop your consciousness ultimately to this bhakti, pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, or we can degrade our consciousness. That's the very special feature of human form. We can elevate our consciousness or degrade our consciousness. That choice is ours. So spiritual life means that we want to purify this materialism, this materialistic contamination, this materialistic disease, and to bring down the fever, to solve this anxiety, disturbance, problem of being in material body in the material world. And it's explained that that is real intelligence. Now, Pariksit Maharaj, he wanted to solve his problem. He was going to die. And he's asking, looking for some solution. And of course, his problem is all of our problem. We also will get old, diseased and die. Death can come any minute. Sometimes they interview people who just almost died. They're in some ocean or they're in some mountain or something. I thought I was going to die. I came this close to death. I was staring death in the face. And then sometimes the person interviewed said, well, what were you thinking of in that moment? Oh, I was thinking of my two daughters. How will they live without their father? I was thinking of my mother. Oh, mother, I'm sorry, I'm dying. I'll bring some pain to you. So just materialistic attachment means materialistic thoughts. So whatever we're thinking of, whatever we're practicing in the life, that's what you're going to think of when you're dying. When you're lying on the deathbed, we think we're going to live forever. We're going to, why I bother now? Let me enjoy later when I'm old man, then I'll start to think about death. But death can come any minute, any moment. So Pariksit Maharaj understood his problem, and he wanted to solve that problem. Then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, little description is there that, where is it? It's saying that unfortunately people don't want to do sadhu sangha. They don't want to associate and hear the truth. The bitter, sometimes bitter and unpalatable truth of our condition, about the nature of this material world. We don't want to hear it because little pinching, little painful, little heavy. Prabhupada says that in social circles, if somebody, if you meet somebody, they should speak some flattering word to you. But this does not apply to spiritual life. In spiritual life, the truth is unpalatable. To a materialistic person, it's unpalatable. But without the bitter medicine, how will we purify our consciousness, our existence, and how will we understand what is our condition? Isn't it? So these are very strong instructions. Don't worry, we only have 2 more hours. Okay? Only 2 more hours, no problem. You have patience? 2 more hours, no problem. You can eat later. Don't worry. This is meant to be food for our soul. Prabhupada says you're not feeding your soul. You may feed your body. You may feed your mind. But how many people are thinking, let me feed my soul? Our souls have become very skinny. Isn't it? Because not enough food. This is the food. What happened was Vaishnav Sadhu, Shukadev Goswami, Mahajana, sometimes it says that the householders, they move and they go and the saints, sages, they go to the house of the householder to beg some milk. They're living off of milk, Srila Prabhupada is explaining, because milk is such a wonderful food. And while they're in the house, they're only there for a few minutes. And they're giving the householder some opportunity to get some purification, to ask some question, to reveal their heart and what is their problem, how to solve that problem. So because Pariksit Maharaj, he had some problem, so he had some big test coming, so Krishna understood that thing, and he just sent Shukadev Goswami there, so that Pariksit Maharaj could inquire. Then Shukadev Goswami, where is it? This is 119.31, appearance of Shukadev Goswami. The sage Shukadev Goswami, he sat perfectly pacified, intelligent and ready to answer any question without hesitation. The great devotee, Maharaj Pariksit, approached him with folded hands. He offered his respects, respectful obeisances, dandavat pranams. And then he politely inquired with sweet words and folded hands. This is the mood that he's approaching Shukadev Goswami. Not challenging, fighting, critical, puffed up mood. You're going to the right person in Shukadev Goswami, and he's approaching with the right mood and mentality and inquiring and looking for help and answers from that Srila Shukadev Goswami. And Prabhupada says that this gesture, which was being adopted by Maharaj Pariksit, of questioning a master, is quite befitting in terms of scriptural injunctions. In such important cases,
Prabhupada says in the purport, one is required to approach a spiritual master. In those important cases, when you're trying to solve, what is your problem? Prabhupada says, one is required to approach a bona fide spiritual master. Prabhupada says, there's no necessity of approaching a spiritual master unless one is in need of solving the problems of his life. So if we are not in need of trying to solve the problems of our life, Prabhupada says there is no need to approach the spiritual master. And you could also say, why will Krishna send you a spiritual master? Prabhupada continues, one who does not know how to put questions before the spiritual master has no business seeing him. So we don't want to solve it, we're not serious, and we're not approaching in the right way, in a humble way, in the proper way, Vaishnava way. The Prabhupada says, you have no business trying to see the spiritual master. Then, Parikshit Maharaj, he said to Shukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, by your mercy only, you have completely purified us, sanctified us. You see, Jad Bharat, by his instructions and strong words, purified and sanctified. Also, King Rahugana. He got out of his ignorance, out of his illusion by the mercy and the instructions of such a pure bhakta, shuddha bhakta, premi bhakta. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty, we became eligible to serve the devotee. So Prabhupada explains that saintly devotees like Shukadeva Goswami, they do not approach worldly enjoyers, especially those who are in the royal orders, kings, politicians. Saintly devotees do not approach such worldly enjoyers. Maharaj Pataparudra, he was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, but when he wanted to see the Lord refused to see him because he was a king. For a devotee who desires to go back home, back to Godhead, two things are very strictly prohibited. If we are serious about spiritual life, if we want to go back to Godhead, we're strictly prohibited to associate with worldly enjoyers and women, or men for women. That means approaching them, materialistic mind, materialistic consciousness, materialistic motivation. Prabhupada says, therefore, devotees of the standard of Shukadeva Goswami, they are never interested in seeing kings. They're depending on Krishna. They're not depending that I have to go there and get some money so I can survive. They're depending on Krishna, not some kings or politicians or rich men. They're never interested to go see these type of people. Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada says, was of course, he was a different case, Maharaj Parikshit, because he was a great devotee. Although he was a king, and therefore Shukadeva Goswami, he came to see him in his last stage of life. So he went there, he may be king, he may be rich, he may be all of these things, but the point is he's devotee. That's why Krishna sent Shukadeva Goswami there. So because Maharaj Parikshit, out of his devotional humility, he felt himself unworthy descendant of the great Kshatriya forefathers, the Pandavas, all these forefathers. He did not consider that he was in that category out of his spiritual humility. And he actually understood that Krishna sent Sukadev Goswami here to help me, to save me. And not because I have any great qualification, but because my forefathers, my relatives are such great devotees. They must have prayed for me. Just out of their bhakti sukriti, somehow I'm getting some benefit from Krishna and Krishna sending his devotee, his pure devotee. And Maharaj Parikshit, he was greatly encouraged by the presence of Shukadev Goswami. He became very encouraged. Oh, Krishna is there. Krishna sent his devotee. Now I have chance to have my problem solved. He became inspired, encouraged. And then Pariksit Maharaj said to Shukadev Goswami that simply by remembering you, our house has become instantly sanctified, purified. This is the standard. Prabhupada says purity is the force. We cannot just say, oh, I'm a saint and I'm a sage and I'm a devotee and I'm going to go to these householders' house and I'm going to instantly purify and sanctify their house and shower mercy and blessing on them. You cannot imitate that. So genuine qualification must be there in order to get this real effect. Pariksit Maharaj could feel the effects of that satsanga, sadhu sangha. And he could recognize that by just remembering you, our whole house, everyone in the house, the whole family, everyone has become completely purified. And he said, what to speak of seeing you now, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home. Just see how fortunate we are. And today Prabhupada says, unfortunately, the people of this age, they're not at all interested to do satsanga, sadhu sangha. They're not realizing they need to do it, and what benefit they will get for themselves and their family, they have no idea. But here, Pariksit Maharaj clearly understood how he was being benefited. I'm not reading everything, I'm just some points I took, alright? You have a little patience with me, my brother? Alright. Prabhupada explains in that purport that if such saints, if they appear in the homes of worldly people, certainly the accumulated sins of such worldly enjoyers become neutralized. So that saint, sadhu, Vaishnav, Shudabhakta, he can neutralize all of the sins of everyone in that house. That is the benefit. Prabhupada says, we're not parasites. We're not here. Prabhupada, when he came to the United States, he said, we have not come here to take anything from you. We have come here to give you something. Of course, what is he taking? He's taking all of our suffering and our anxiety and our confusion and our pain and our sinful activities and sinful reactions. So is there greater personality than this? And unfortunately, nobody's interested. Prabhupada says, right? So, the holy saints, actually, they have no self-interest with householders. They are not self-interested. Their only aim of such saints is to sanctify or purify the houses and the personalities in those houses. The only aim of such saints is to sanctify the houses of the householders, and the householders therefore should feel grateful and appreciate, what is this person doing for me and my family? A householder who dishonors, who does not appreciate, who is not feeling grateful. Ah, why they come? Why he's come? What's he looking for? What does he want? Being disrespectful. Great offender. Aparadhi. And it is enjoined, Prabhupada says, therefore, that a householder who does not bow down before a saint, at once he must undergo fasting for the entire day, just in order to neutralize that great offense. You should fast for the whole day. If we're puffed up, proud, and we disrespect or disregard pure Vaishnava, Shuddha Bhakta, Premi Bhakta, then it says you should just fast, not eat anything. Try to neutralize your offense, aparad. So, that question is there, Vaishnav ke? Who really is Vaishnav? Who is a Vaishnava? Who are these saints or sages or sadhus? And it's explained, one who is not at all interested, no self-interest. Kanak Kamini Pratishta. Not looking for money. Money, money, money. Brighter than sunshine. Sweeter than the honey. Money, money, money. So real sadhu, real Vaishnava, not at all interested in yellow stool. Gold. Sometimes called yellow stool. Not interested in women. Oh, flattering, enjoying subtly or otherwise with women. Mixing. And not interested in the subtle sex life. What is subtle sex life? This pratishta. Name, fame, adoration, distinction. Not running after pratishta. That is Vaishnava. We are aspiring to become a real Vaishnava. We're saying, yes, we're Vaishnavas. But really, Vaishnava in the real sense of the word means not at all interested or attached to all of these materialistic things. So therefore, Prabhupada says, purity is the force. Prabhupada in some places says, if you cannot even purify yourself, how are you going to purify anybody else? First fix yourself. First try it on yourself. Prabhupada says, if your hands and feet are bound by rope, then how you'll free the other guy whose hands and feet are bound by the rope? Therefore, such a person, he must be liberated. If one cannot even liberate himself, how's he going to liberate you? We should consider these things. Isn't it? Just 1.5 more hours. We're getting there. Then, where is that? Then, this very nice, interesting realization that Pariksit Maharaj had. And he's saying to Shukadeva Goswami, otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here? So all of a sudden, Pariksit Maharaj has a problem. He's trying to figure out how to deal with this problem. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, Shukadeva Goswami, Vaishnav Sadhu Saint, just happens to appear at his house. So he understood, this must be Lord Krishna. And my forefathers, somehow they're showering some mercy on me, they understand what is my problem, and they have sent this sadhu, Vaishnav, Shuddha Bhakta, to my, in my life, in my house. How is it that you have voluntarily, unless Krishna sent you, how you voluntarily just came here, appeared here? Though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death. So such devotees, sometimes you cannot recognize who are they. It says it's very difficult to understand or to recognize pure Vaishnava because they move incognito. They do not beat their own drum. Real Vaishnava. They're hiding. Little hiding. So, this is my last point. And then we'll entertain questions, answers, and shared realizations for the next 2 hours. Alright? So the great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, he was certainly inspired by Lord Krishna to appear voluntarily before Maharaj Parikshit. That arrangement was Krishna. Because Krishna knows the heart of his devotee. So Krishna says, my devotee's in trouble, he's crying for me. I have to send my dear devotee, Shukadeva Goswami, there. Huh? Just to give him the solution, the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So two mercies required, Prabhupada said. Mercy of Krishna, mercy of Sadhu Guru Vaishnava. With those two mercies, then the impossible can become possible. And without their mercy, the possible remains impossible. Did I say that right? So this is very interesting. Prabhupada says, Krishna, to shower his mercy, the first installment of his mercy is he sends you such pure devotee, Vaishnava, Sadhu, Shuddha-bhakta. That's his mercy. Prabhupada says, the Lord is seated in the heart of all living beings, Paramatma, Chetaguru, Antaryami. He's there. And he knows very well the movements of all individual persons. He can understand what is our desire. As soon as the Lord finds that a particular soul is very eager to go back to Godhead, the Lord at once sends his bona fide representative. This is prerequisite. When we are very serious and sincere in wanting to surrender to Krishna and develop love for Krishna and to get Krishna, Krishna will know. Oh, this soul is crying for me. I have to help him. Then what does that help? He sends his representative, bona fide guru, Satguru. Prabhupada says, as soon as the Lord finds that particular soul is very eager to go back to Godhead. But in another place, Prabhupada said, hardly anybody's interested to go back home, back to Godhead. So if we're not really interested to go, extremely eager, perfectly anxious, how to go back to Godhead, why will Krishna send a bona fide guru? What's the point? Prabhupada says, the sincere devotee, he is thus getting that association, he is assured, he is guaranteed by the Lord to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the Lord's assurance, his guarantee, his installment of mercy for that soul who is crying for him. We're not crying for Krishna. We're crying for Maya. Oh, I lost this, that, my mother, my children, my money, my job, my health. Crying for Maya, not crying for Krishna. We are not so perfectly anxious or extremely eager to get Krishna, to go back to Krishna, that's our problem. Still, Krishna is so merciful, he sends pure devotees just anyway try to knock some sense into us. Prabhupada says, usually we do not approach these people, don't disturb them, but sometimes devotee takes a risk. Some risk sometimes is required. Because they're in ignorance. They don't even know what do they need. What to speak of looking for solution. So one is guaranteed, assured to go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada says the conclusion is that to get the assistance and the help of a bona fide spiritual master means to receive the direct help of the Lord Himself. That is His help. That is how He's helping us. But we have to recognize that, and we have to take advantage of that. Krishna is helping us through His bona fide representatives, pure devotees of the Lord. That's how He's helping us. But Prabhupada said in this purport today, unfortunately, where is it? Unfortunately, people in this age, they avoid the association of liberated people, sadhu, sangha, sadhus. They avoid that association. They run from it. They run away from it. And they continue on in their stereotyped way of family life. And thus they are embarrassed by this exchange of money and sex. Just reminded me one funny story. When I was in the United States, I was distributing books in one airport. Bhagavad Gita's. Now this big marathon is coming, you see. So we want to give everybody a chance. We want to take a risk to somehow give them a chance how to get out of this suffering condition. So I met one Indian man. He was coming to the airport. And I had my Bhagavad Gita. So then I said, "Welcome to the United States of America." And obviously he was an Indian man. It was his first time to America. So he thinks he's going to the promised land. He thinks he's entering into the heavenly planets, and I'm like, the doorkeeper. I'm welcoming him. And he became immediately, "Wow, this is so nice. I'm being welcomed here to this land of opportunity." And he was so happy. And then I said, "I have a gift for you, my sir." And he said, "A gift for me? This is my first time to the United States of America, the promised land." And I pulled out the Bhagavad Gita. And I said, "Here, there's a Bhagavad Gita." Then he looked and he got such a shock. I came all the way here on that long flight, and the first person I see and the first thing I see is Bhagavad Gita? Oh my God! Then he started like running backwards, you know, honestly. He was like trying to get away from that Bhagavad Gita like he saw a ghost. And then some lady, this is true story, I'm not making this story up. I saw this with my own eyes. And some lady was pushing his baby carriage. And that man was so eager to get away from me that he stumbled over the baby carriage. And still I'm going after him, "Sir, I have Bhagavad Gita for you. You came here for dana. You came here for wealth, isn't it?"
Well, here we're giving Krishna prem dana. You're getting the greatest wealth.
Not interested. Not interested. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. So we should think, please, Krishna, don't let me be unfortunate. Don't let me miss this opportunity which is right in front of me. By the mercy, by your mercy and the mercy of your Vaishnav devotees, please let me take full advantage of it as much as possible. Please keep me, protect me, force me to take it. Huh? Sometimes the parent, he has to force the child to take that medicine. Right? And what do? They have to make a little trick. Right?
I have some candy for you.
This liquid candy, right? It's antibiotic or some heavy medicine. Then the parent says, no, I have some nice sweet medicine for you. And then they have to a little bit trick. So sometimes we also need to be a little tricked. Prabhupada said, I remember hearing Prabhupada said, if I ever told you what is actually required to be devotee of Krishna, what is being asked of you, none of you would have taken it. So I had to a little trick you. And of course the trick of Sadhu Guru Vaishnav is his great mercy. Thank God he tricked us. Isn't it? Thank you, Krishna, he tricked us. And why would the Prabhupada say, come, chant, dance, take prasadam, go back to Godhead? Wow, that sounds reasonable. That sounds pretty easy. Prabhupada said so many times, what is the problem? Just come and chant and dance, take prasad. Take the medicine. Huh? Sugar-coated. Quinine. Because we're not so ready to take a bitter medicine. But these words, these instructions, this very bitter medicine, unpalatable medicine. In beginning, it's a little painful. It says mode of goodness means beginning, some pain is there. But after that, unlimited pleasure, happiness, joy. So thank you everyone very much. Does anyone have some question or just for 5 minutes? Yes? Yeah? Say it again.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Normally when we are going to somewhere in the preaching anything, so those people are saying, we are doing the honest work, we are doing the proper karma, we are not harming to anyone's, then we are honest, we are following the all naitikta, everything. Then why we should surrender to the God?
That's what they say?
Normally they say, why we are surrendering to God? We are doing anything, everything's proper.
Oh, right.
Now what is to be answered regarding these questions?
Just explain, okay, you're doing everything for God, right? So just say a couple things. One thing you say is, okay, the laws of God, Krishna says no illicit sex. You say that first, no illicit sex, then you watch their face. Because if they're not surrendered to Krishna, how they can control this urge? So, okay, no meat eating. No gambling. Huh? What is it? Huh? And no intoxication. So this will filter it down a little bit for you.
That means they are not.
This will be a nice filtering system. Right? And it's okay. None of these sinful activities. So you're not doing any of those sinful activities, right? And then you see whether they can say that they're doing everything. And then Krishna says, in all that you do,
In all of your activities, in all of your charity, in all of your austerities, in all of the things that you're doing in your spiritual life, Krishna says, do it for me. So are we doing it for Krishna? Or are we doing it for ourselves, for our family? So, someone has to be honest. Someone has to be simple. If you're simple-hearted and honest, not crooked fellow, then you must admit, yes, this is my fault. You see? But if they're not simple, and they're not honest, Prabhupada in some places innocent. They may not know anything, but if they're simple and innocent, little pure, they'll immediately catch it. So if they're saying all of these things and then they're arguing with you when you're bringing these points, honestly, it means they're not serious. Then you just be respectful, you be friendly, try to give them book, something, or prasad, and get out of there. Don't try to preach to these people. Once you see they're not serious, they're wasting your time, they're not looking for what is their problem or how to solve it, they already think they've attained perfection, and meanwhile they're breaking all of the religious principles. Then be these people not serious. Don't waste your time. A little bit try to help. As soon as you see, get out of there. Because it's also an offense to try to preach to people who don't have faith. So if you see they have no faith in you and what you're saying, then what will they listen to from you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Thanks.
That's my experience. Many years I'm preaching and distributing books and meeting all kinds of people. Right? Find some innocent, Prabhupada said, find some innocence. Some simple-hearted souls. Not those who are kapatis, crooked, dishonest, corrupted, not serious, whimsical, foolish. How you can preach to such people? But Prabhupada says, what will your preaching do anyway? Just try to get them to take the book. If they read one line from the book, maybe you'll get mercy from Krishna, from Prabhupada, and wake up. But again, Prabhupada says, if you don't want to wake up, and you're faking that you're sleeping, then who will wake you up? If you're very simple, immediately you'll get up. One who's simple and hears this truth, immediately he'll accept it. Yes, this is true. I must accept it. So no simplicity. This is problem. No innocence, no purity, no seriousness. So why in Jesus Christ, I was raised as Christian, there was the don't put your pearls before the swine. Don't put your pearls, your gems, with the hogs. Don't show it. And Prabhupada says, birds of the same feathers, they're flocked together. So find some very noticeable and similar kind of feathers.
Okay,
thank
you.
Huh? Yeah, Hare Krishna. And yes, sir.
If there is time only, I will ask one question.
Huh?
I must take the permission of Sim Krishna Prabhu.
He is your well-wisher, he's your friend, he wants to make you happy. How he can deny you?
Murali Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Your name is so sweet that even though many times you have mentioned that a devotee should not be envious of another devotee,
we should not advise?
No.
Oh, we should not be envious, right?
One devotee should not be envious of another devotee.
Of anybody?
Yeah. It makes me envy about your sweet name.
This what?
Murali Krishna. It makes me envious about your sweet name. Murali Krishna. Murali Krishna.
Then we'll also call you Murali Krishna Das. No problem.
Yes.
Huh?
Huh? Yeah. We're all Das. You can also have that name. I'm not just saying only me.
Prabhu, let me complete.
Google search. Look up your name. Oh, someone else already has my name.
Prabhu.
Yes.
I had occasion.
But my Gurudev, when I first met him, he said, "What is your name?" I said, "The Murali Krishna Das." Then he said, "Oh, that's a very nice name. So that must mean that you are the Das of that Murali Krishna." Then he said, "Why don't you become a real Das? Why are you pretending to be Das?" Whew, you talk about heavy words. That hit like a spear. So?
Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry.
For the past so many days, I have heard your lectures on Bhagavatam, which are very relishing. You see, it seems that you have invested substantial, you have made substantial investment in Lord Krishna's mutual fund. And you are...
Yes.
And
actually, I didn't make the investment. He took everything. Then I had nothing left to give. Already bankrupt. So what am I giving?
Prabhu, I have no doubt. You are always carrying Krishna's Murli in your heart. Now, my question is, if I want to become a devotee like you, what I should do?
Don't overeat. Don't criticize devotees. Don't find faults like I do. Look at the perfect example of perfect devotee. Fix your mind on the greatest devotees. Then we should think, oh, I'd like to become like him. Sometimes you see Prabhupada so much ecstasy in his chanting, in his speaking. Sometimes we think, oh, if I could just get a drop, if I could just taste a drop of what he's tasting, my God, everything would be solved. You see, just like you see materialistic person, and he comes, he pulls up in front of the restaurant with his BMW, and he gets out with his beautiful wife, and his beautiful children, and his big fat wallet, with lots of rupees, and you think, oh, I wish I could be like him. I wish I could have what he has. So association is everything, because it directly affects our desires. So if we want to develop spiritual desires, we have to associate with those who have very strong spiritual desire. Then we'll become like that. Prabhupada says if you sit in the bar room and you associate with drunkards long enough, very soon you will pick up a drink. Some wine or some other thing. You'll start drinking because of your association. So if we want to become saintly, we want to become dear to Krishna, we want to become purified and pure, then we must associate and hear daily from these type of devotees. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And usually when we say that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we say every day hear Bhagavatam. Right? Usually we think. But Prabhupada says, no, constantly. As much as possible. Chant Hare Krishna, hear about Krishna, speak about Krishna, like this. Then we have a chance to become real devotee. But that Grihastha asked Mahaprabhu, what is the first duty of one who is serious about advancing in his spiritual life? And Mahaprabhu said, asat sanga tyag. Give up, abandon asat sanga. And rather, do sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha. Develop that desire. Develop that greed. It says, how do you get rid of your materialistic greed? Just transfer your greed. Let me become greedy how to associate with sadhus, with Vaishnavas. Then that greed will become purified and useful. Nobody says get rid of the greed. Just change what is it that you're greedy for. Like that. All right?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
I got your message, Hare Krishna.
And I got your message, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudeva ki, Samaveda Bhakta Brinda ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Have a nice day, everyone. Think about Krishna. Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. Hare Krishna.